ஸ்ரீ குருப்பியோ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் சத்குரு சரணாரவிந்தாப்யாம் நமஹ. பிரம்மசூத்ராஸ் சாப்டர் 3 பாதா 2 சந்தியாதிகரணம். சந்தியே சிருஷ்டிஹி ஆஹஹீம் நிர்மாதாரஞ்ச ஏகே புத்ராதயஸ்ச மாயா மாத்ரந்து கார்ஸ்னேன அனபிவ்யக்த அனபிவ்யக்த ஸ்வரூபத்வாத் சூசகஸ்ச ஹி ஸ்ருதேஹ ஆசக்ஷதே ச தத்விதஹ பராபித்யானாது திரோஹிதம் ததோ ஹ்யஸ்ய பந்த விபர்யயௌ தேஹ யோகாத்வாஸஹ அபி தத்பாவாதிகரணம். தத்பாவோ நாடீஷு தத்ஸ்ருதேஹே ஆத்மனி ச அத ப்ரபோதஹ அஸ்மாத் கர்மானுஸ்மிருதி ஷப்த வித்யாதிகரணம். ச ஏவ து கர்மானுஸ்மிருதி ஷப்த விதிப்யஹ முக்தே அர்த்தசம்பத்தி கரணம். முக்தே அர்த்தசம்பத்திஹி பரிசேஷாத் உபயலிங்காதிகரணம். நஸ்தானதோபி பரஸ்ய உபயலிங்கம் சர்வத்ர ஹி ந வேதாதிதி சேத் ந ப்ரத்யேகம் அதத்வசனாத் அபி ச ஏவ மேகே அரூபவத் ஏவ ஹி தத் பிரதானத்வாத் பிரகாஷவச்ச அவ்வையர்த்யம் ஆஹ ச தன் மாத்ரம் தர்ஷயதி சாதோ அபி ஸ்மர்யதே அத ஏவ சோபமாம் சூரியகாதிவத் அம்புவத் அக்ரஹணாத்து ந ததாத்வம் புத்தி ஹ்ராசபாக்வம் அந்தர்பாவாத் உபய சாமஞ்சஸ்யாத் ஏவம் தர்ஷனாச்ச ப்ரக்ருதை தாவத்வாதி கரணம். ப்ரக்ருதை தாவத்வம் ஹி ப்ரதிஷேததி ததோ ப்ரவீதி ச பூயஹ தத் அவ்யக்தமாஹ ஹி அபி ச சம்ராதனே பிரத்யக்ஷ அனுமானாப்யாம் பிரகாஷாதிவச்ச அவைசேஷ்யம் பிரகாசச்ச கர்மணி அப்யாசாத் அதஹ அனந்தேன ததாஹி லிங்கம் உபய வ்யபதேஷாத்து அஹி குண்டலவத் பிரகாஷ ஆஶ்ரயவத் வா தேஜஸ்த்வாத் பூர்வவத்வாம் பிரதிஷேதாச்ச பராதிகரணம். பரமதா சேதூன் மான சம்பந்த பேத விபதேசேப்யா சாமான்யாத்து புத்தியார்த்த பாதவத் ஸ்தான விசேஷாத் பிரகாஷாதிவத் உபபத்தேஸ்ச ததான்ய பிரதிஷேதாத் அனேன சர்வகதத்வம் ஆயாம சப்தாதிப்யா ஃபலாதிகரணம். ஃபலமத உபபத்தேஹ ஸ்ருதத்வாச்ச தர்மம் ஜைமினிஹி அத ஏவ பூர்வம் து பாதராயணஹ ஹேதுவ்யபதேஷாத். We have been seeing the 41st and the last sutra of the 8th adhikaranam, namely phaladhikaranam. And this is also the last sutra of the second pada of chapter 3. Here, the Purvapakshi is Jaimini Rishi himself, who is also a Shishya of Vedavyasa. And if you remember what we said in the last class, Purva Mimamsakas, they do not accept Ishvara. And what do they say? They say that every karma produces an invisible force called Adrishtam or Apurvam. Karma is completed and it produces an inevitable invisible force that is called Adrishtam. And the technical word used is Apurvam here. Or another word is dharma. Therefore, here dharma is equal to apurvam, is equal to adrishtam, is equal to avyakta punya papam, the invisible punya papam. That force is generated. Now, Jaimini contends the yagas and rituals and all that, they produce dharma, and dharma produces sukha and dukkha without the intervention of a god. And there is no need for a god at all. This is the philosophy of Purva Mimamsaka of like Jaimini. And Vedantins, they do not accept that. And the Vedantins say, the problem with your approach is Karanam, namely Apurvam or Dharmam, which is produced by karma, the ritual, that is Jadam. Therefore, Karma Janya Apurva is also Jadam. The Apurva that is created by doing karma, that should be Jadam. And Jadam can never produce any phalam or result. So a result depends upon infinite laws of the creation. This includes moral laws of creation also. Science does not take into account moral principles. Not only the immediate laws or immediate factors, you should also take into account the remote factors also. Therefore, the Siddhanti's contention is what? An achetana karma cannot produce the result. An inert thing cannot intelligently function without the backing of a sentient principle. This is our nyaya, our argument. Therefore, chetana tattvam is required. Now the question is, if chetana tattvam is required, why should we have to introduce a god or Ishvara? Why not chetana jiva give the phalam itself? Jiva is also chetana. This is the law of simplicity. If without Bhagavan you can explain the events of creation, why introduce an Ishvara at all? Let us manage with jiva. That is the contention of Purva Mimamsakas. But we say Chetana Jiva is incapable of determining the result, namely the karma phala, because Jiva's knowledge is so too much less limited. It's so less limited, so less knowledge to do the job. Very limited knowledge, Alpa Shaktiman, Alpa Gnaha, and all that. So Alpajna Jivaha is incapable, and therefore we require Sarvajna Chetana Vastu, and that is called Ishvara. So by logic, we establish that Sarvajna Ishvara alone produces the phalam. And we add a condition also that Ishvara does not give his choice and he gives this result according to the karma of the Jiva. Thus, karma becomes the Vishesha Karanam and Bhagavan becomes the Samanya Karanam for every experience of ours. And in addition to this logic, we have Shruti Pramana also. We have seen in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, 4th chapter, 4th section, 24th mantra, Sava Yesha Mahan Ajaha Atma Annadaha Vasudanaha Vindate Vasu Yayevam Veda. Here it is said, Mahanatma, which means Paramatma, Ishvaraha alone, is the Annadaha, Vasudanaha, means giver of food, Annadaha, Vasudanaha, giver of wealth. So here food and wealth, they represent all the karma phalam. Sukham and Dukkha Anubhavaha, Sukha Dukkha Anubhavaha. So we generally talk of two types of wealth also, the happiness creating wealth, but we do not know of the problem creating wealth. Happiness creating wealth only we know. So wealth is of twofold, namely one is happiness giving wealth, happiness creating wealth, and the other is problem creating wealth. And both are created by Ishvara only. And also in the 21st shloka of 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord supports his view also, Lord Krishna. Yo yo yam yam tanum bhaktaha shraddayarchitu michyati. Tasya tasya chalam shraddham thamevam vidadhamyaham. Whatever celestial form a devotee seeks to worship with faith, I study the faith of such a devotee in that form. That's what Lord promises. If Ishvara is karma phala data, where is the need for intermediary adrishtam and all that? Apurvam and all those things, which is introduced by the Purva Mimamsaka because of the absence of Ishvara. So since we accept Siddhantins, we accept God, do we require Adrishtam as a factor at all? Either way, it's okay. Because if you accept Apurvam, Vedantin will say, Bhagavan gives Phalam according to Apurvam. Or else Bhagavan gives Phalam according to Karma. Apurvam is not a very important necessary concept in Vedanta. It can be avoided also. So generally we accept it because to please the Purva Mimamsaka in this regard. So in the first set of sutras, Vyasacharya introduced our Siddhanta. And in the 40th sutra, Vyasacharya introduced Jaimini Matam. And now he says Vedanta Matam is superior to Jaimini Matam also. And here Vyasacharya says that the Shruti Pramana clearly says that Bhagavan gives Sukha and Dukkha Anubhavas. Bhagavan is mentioned in the Shastra, in the Kaushitaki Upanishad. That in third section and the eighth mantra, it says, Yesha Hyesha Sadhu Karma Karayati Te Yamebhyo Loke Bhyaham Unni Nishate Yesha Vu Yeva Asadhu Karma Karayati Te Yamadho Nishate. We have given this quotation earlier also. In when we discuss the sutra, 34th sutra, first part of second chapter, Vishamya Nairgranya Adhikarana, that is Adhikarana, in that topic we have given the same example, the same quotation, where it is said that Bhagavan alone is responsible for everything. And this statement will create a confusion. If Bhagavan gives Sukham and Dukham, then Bhagavan will be said to be partial because he gives Sukham to some people and Dukkham to some other people. And that partiality blot in Bhagavan is removed by adding a condition. Bhagavan does not give according to his own whims and fancy, but Bhagavan gives it in keeping with their own past Punya Papas. Then why to introduce Bhagavan at all? You may as well say past karma gives the results. That we cannot say because karma is jadam. Then the constitutional criminal law book, as it were, will not punish the criminal because criminal law book is jadam and it should be governed by a sentient being, a judge. So Bhagavan is like a judge. Karma is like the criminal law. God cannot independently give the punishment. The criminal law cannot independently give the punishment. So judge and the criminal law put together, they give the punishment. So the judge is called Samanya Karanam. The criminal law and his karma is called Vishesha Karanam. Therefore, Vaishamya Nairgranya Doshaha is not there. That we said earlier also. This is the general analysis of this sutra. Now we will see the word analysis. First, we'll see the running meaning. Purvam tu Badarayanaha Hetu Vyapadeshat. That is the sutra. And here tu means however. Badarayanaha refers to Veda Vyasa, Vyasacharya. Badarayanaha holds what he calls Purvam, the former view. Ketu Vyapadesha, since Lord is revealed as cause of the karma phalam, this is how the former view Vyasacharya holds. Now we'll see the significance of the words. Purvam. Purvam means the first view, the former view. Purvamatam given in the 38th sutra, namely Phalamataha Upapattehe. So the second view given is in the 40th sutra, that is Dharmam Jaiminihi Atayeva. So 38th sutra and 40th sutra. And here the view given in the 30th sutra, namely Phalamata Upapattehe, is taken. Ishvara gives Sukham and Dukkham, not the Apurvam. That is Dharma is equal to Apurvam, is equal to Adrishtam, is equal to Avyakta Punya Papam, the invisible Punya Papam, that force. That is Apurvam according to Jaimini Rishi, which we said earlier. So tu is added here to differentiate this from the Jaimini Matam. What we are contending Siddhanti's argument from Jaimini Matam, to differentiate this, the word tu is given. Therefore, on the other hand, tu refers to on the other hand, unlike the Jaimini Matam, then Badarayanaha. Badarayanaha is the name of Vyasacharya. Badara means Badarivanam. Ayana means residence. So this Vyasacharya is supposed to Badari, the one means in Tamil we call it Yelandaparam. I don't know about other languages. So Vyasacharya is supposed to have lived in Badrinath, in the Badari forest. And that is why he is called Badarayanaha. Badaram Ayanam Yasyasaha Badarayanaha, the resident of Badrinath. So Vyasacharya, and he holds, but he holds the Purvamata, Badarayanaha Manyate. And why does he hold this matam? Because Hetu Vyapadeshat. Shruti says Bhagavan is the Hetu, is the cause of the phalam. And even if there is dharmam or punya papam, adrishtam is introduced. Even to operate the adrishtam, we need Bhagavan, because adrishtam cannot operate by itself. So the right punyam, or as we said earlier, its right punyam should fructify at the right time. And that determination of right time, right place, right condition, etc., they all require so many factors. And punyam cannot think, and one cannot say it accidentally happened also. Then that would be a disaster. Therefore, Ishvara is the hetu for karma phala, and also for apurva phala. Even if you introduce apurvam, vyapadeshat. Vyapadeshat means here refers to shruti vakya. Therefore, hetu bodhaka shruti vakyat. And some people might wonder, how can Vyasacharya himself refer to himself as Badarayana? He could have as well said, I hold the view. But he said, Badarayana holds the view. And the historians, they've got a field almost on this and get into huge analysis. Is Badarayana the same as Vyasa? Is the question. Who is the author of Brahma Sutras? And get into very big discussion. And we will anyway conveniently avoid all those discussions. So our traditional interpretation, Shankaracharya has not got into any such analysis at all. So we accept it as it is that Vyasa refers to his own matam. Rather, Vyasa refers to his own matam. And with this, the eighth adhikaranam is also over. So tatpada vachyartha is also over. With this, the second pada of chapter 3 is also over. And what is the central theme of the second pada? Tvampada vachyartha and tvampada lakshyartha. And tvampada vachyartha is saguna jivatma. And tatpada vachyartha is saguna paramatma. And this saguna jivatma and saguna paramatma are never identical. They can never be equal. Sadguna jivatma, saguna jivatma and saguna paramatma are never identical. As long as we see from Vyavaharika angle, Jivatma will be Saguna Jivatma and Paramatma will be Saguna Paramatma only. Their relationship will be what? Karta and Karma Pala Dhata. That is the relationship of Jivatma and Paramatma from the Vyavaharika angle. Karta and Karma Pala Dhata. Jiva will be Karta, Ishvara will be Karma Pala Dhata. Ishvara will be Swami and Jiva will be Dasa. Ishvara will be the receiver of all the pujas and all that. And Jiva will be, he will not be the receiver of the pujas, but he has to be always the giver, offerer of pujas. Poktaram yajnatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhritam sarvabhutanam nyatvamam shantim richati. Fifth chapter. So having realized me as the enjoyer of all sacrifices and austerities, the supreme lord of all the worlds and the selfless friend of all living beings, my devotee attains peace. Lord Krishna promises. Bhoktaram yajna tapasam. The Veda should be accepted between Jivatma and Paramatma. Whereas Tvampada lakshyartha is Nirgunam Brahman and Tatpada lakshyartha is Nirguna Chaitanyam. This is the truth from Paramarthika Drishti. And from this Paramarthika Drishti, the Jivatma and Paramatma are absolutely identical because the differentiating attributes are not there. Therefore, Karyatvam, Karanatvam, Dasatvam, Swamitvam, Worshipperhood, all that thing, Dasatvam, Swamitvam, Karyatvam, Karanatvam, Worshipperhood and Worshipperhood, all these attributes are not there from Paramarthika angle. This is the Aikyam, and in Vedanta Shastra, Paramarthika Drishti is held. Jnanakanda is always from Paramarthika Drishti, and Karmakanda functions in Vyavaharika Drishti. Therefore, do not mix up Karmakanda and Jnanakanda. Do not mix up Veda Vakyam and Abheda Vakyam and have clarity of understanding. And because this vichara is done, this comes under Sadhana Adhyaya. Because this is the sadhana for Aikya Jnana. With the second pada of chapter 3 is over with 8 Adhikaranams and 41 Sutras. Now let us introduce the third pada of chapter 3. Tritiya Padaha. This is the biggest pada of Brahma Sutra with 36 adhikaranams or topics, 36 topics and 66 sutras. And in this big pada, Vyasacharya predominantly analyzes saguna upasanas occurring in Vedanta. Nirguna jnanam is also discussed here and there, but predominantly saguna upasana. And Shankaracharya uses the word paraparavidya. Paravidya means nirguna jnanam and aparavidya means saguna upasana. Both are analyzed here. But predominantly saguna upasanas are discussed. Then the question will come, why should we analyze upasanas in Vedanta meditation? Because Vedanta is aimed at moksha. And moksha is only through nirguna jnanam. Well, nirguna jnanam is the aim of moksha. Why Vyasacharya discusses saguna upasana predominantly? And that too in a very big adhikaranam is the common question. And Shankaracharya says, saguna upasanas also contribute to moksha in twofold ways. Therefore, they are extremely important. And what are the twofold ways Shankaracharya gives? One way is, saguna upasana gives sadhana chatushtaya sampatti in this janma itself. It brings a competent guru who becomes accessible because of saguna upasana. Yo mam ajamanadincha veti loka maheshwaram asamhoda samartheshu sarva papai pramuchyate tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. If a person worships me, I will provide him with the appropriate guru at the right time, promises Krishna in the Gita. Therefore, saguna upasana gives sadhana chatushtaya sampatti. It gives guru and provides the conditions for shastra shravanam. So put it in grass terms, it gives conditions for attending our classes. So Ishvara's blessings are required. Otherwise, it will be so near, but so far. As we saw in Ishavasi Upanishad long time ago, tadejati, tannaijati, taddure, tadvantike, tadantarasya sarvasya, tadu sarvasyasya bhakyataha, tadejati, that moves. Tat nayejati, that does not move. Tad dure, that is far. Tadu antike, that is same thing is near. Tad antarasya sarvasya, that is within all this. And tadu sarvasyasya bahyataha, it is also outside of all this. The type of jnanam only one can visualize and understand this. Thus, saguna upasana provides all the conditions and brings shravanam, brings a person to shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam in this janma itself and helps one to gain moksha also. Saguna upasana is parampara hetu, means indirect means for liberation, not direct means, through what? Guru Shastra Upadesha. This is one method. So you go to your guru and who gives you Shastra Upadesha to you. This is one method. And there is another indirect method also. Namely, saguna upasana may not provide conditions in this janma. But if a person holds on to saguna upasana and also remembers Ishvara at the time of death, that is chapter 8, we have already seen this, we'll go to Brahmaloka. And it is another name for ideal condition for nirguna jnanam, because when a person goes to Brahmaloka, that is a posthumous ideal condition in Brahmaloka, one gets. It means one person will get a wonderful guru in the form of Brahmaji himself. And in Brahmaloka, there is nothing to do other than gaining knowledge from Brahmaji. Saguna Upasana helps a person to gain Krama Mukti. Jivan Mukti means one gains moksha in this janma itself. Krama Mukti is after death. One goes to all the Sushumna Nadi and all we have described earlier. They go to Brahma Loka, Satya Loka, and Brahmaji himself gives the teaching for that person to gain jnana. This is analyzed actually in the third pada. So Saguna Upasana means Ishwara Upasana. God with various virtues will be meditated upon here. This is going to be the topic of the third pada of chapter 3. First, let us give the general analysis to the third pada. This is a part of Sadhana Adhyaya, we already told, second chapter, third chapter and all that. So it deals with the sadhanas for moksha. Previously, we dealt with Tvampada Vichara and Tatpada Vichara. Padartha Vichara is sadhanam for Vachyartha Vijnanam. And which jnanam is the path for moksha? Here we will analyze Sagunam Brahma Upasanas. Upasana means meditation. And Saguna Ishvara Dhyanam is Saguna Brahma Upasana. And there are references to Nirguna Brahma, Nirguna Brahma Jnanam also. And why should we deal with Saguna Upasana when we are interested in Nirguna Brahma Jnanam, which alone will give us moksha? Saguna Brahman is Mithya. It was said that Saguna Upasaka is a miserable person also in the Upanishads, Mandukya and all these places. Then why discuss that topic at all? When we criticize Saguna Upasana, we know the intention behind the criticism. When one says Saguna Upasana will give liberation, we criticize. But suppose if one practices Saguna Upasana for purpose of Chitta Shuddhi and does not expect moksha, then we ourselves encourage them to do Saguna Upasana, to integrate and organize the mind, Chitta Shuddhi. So with the integrated mind, one can get Nirguna Brahma Jnanam later. So this is like a stepping stone. Saguna Upasana is the path to Nirguna Jnanam. And such Upasana we encourage a person to do. So Saguna Upasana is indirectly helping to gain Jnanam. I practice and I come to Nirguna Jnanam in this Janma itself and attain Jivan Mukti. So Saguna Upasana can give me Jivan Mukti in this life itself. Not directly, but indirectly. Saguna Upasana can give me the Jnana Marga in this life itself. And Jivan Muktitvam also in this life. And there is another method also. I continue Saguna Upasana throughout my life without coming to Nirguna Jnanam. So Vairagyam is a must for liberation. So with strong Vairagyam and strong Mumukshutvam, the craving, desire to gain moksha, such Upasaka will go to Brahmaloka as I mentioned earlier. And that Upasaka will get Nirguna Vichara with the teachings of Brahmaji. So Saguna Upasaka can be, he can get Jivan, Saguna Upasana can be sadhanam for Jivan Mukti or Krama Mukti Sadhanam. Not directly, but via Nirguna Jnana. So Saguna Upasana, therefore, is very important for Vedantic Jnana. Thus, a study of Saguna Upasana is relevant in Brahma Sutra. Anything to do in life is relevant to you spiritually. Either go through in life, get kicks and all that things and practice Vairagyam. One can do all kinds of things. It is not going to be how the Upasana is practiced, but certain type of Upasanas occur in different Upanishads. Different Upanishads talk about certain types of Upasanas. And these Upasanas have got great resemblance also. And they appear to be one and the same Upasana looking identical. But they do have dissimilarities also. They have common as also uncommon features. What are those? The Upasanas given in various Upanishads. And because of the differences, a doubt might come to the student as to whether they are the same or different Upasanas with certain similarities. So we can see them as same or different. And in this pada, several such Upasanas are going to be analyzed. And Vyasacharya will point out which are same and which are different Upasanas. Once Vyasacharya establishes that two Upasanas are identical, then another rule is applied. If two Upasanas are one and the same with minor differences, we see certain attributes are applied in one Upasana and certain attributes are not common in the Upasana mentioned in another Upanishad. So certain attributes are applied in one Upanishad. And in another, they are not mentioned. The same attributes are not there in another Upanishad. Then Vyasacharya says, missing attributes in one Upanishad can be transferred to the Upasanas mentioned in another Upanishad. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad talks about Hiranyagarbha. You can borrow the attribute of chant. So the Hiranyagarbha discussed in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad can borrow the attributes of Hiranyagarbha described in Chandogya Upanishad. So this transference of attributes that is allowed only after establishing that both are one and the same upasana mentioned in two Upanishads. Hiranyagarbha Upasana in Brihadaranyaka and also in Chandogya, both are same. So you may be able to transfer the attributes. So the guna transference is called guna upasamharaha. That is a technical word used in the Upanishads. Guna transference from one Upanishad to the other Upanishad is called upasamharaha. In determining the Vedas and Abhedas between the Upanishads mentioned in different Upanishads, several laws will be applied in this context. These are all in the analysis. All these things are all very important. In determining the Vedas and Abhedas, differences and between the Upanishads, because Veda and Abheda are mentioned in different Upanishads. So several laws will be applied in this context, and all the laws are borrowed from Purva Mimamsaka Darshanam to decide the Veda and Abheda between the Upanishads mentioned in different Upanishads. In Purva Mimamsa, they face similar problems. It is analysis of Veda Purva Bhaga, that is Karma Kanda portion. There we have sutras written by Jaimini Maharishi. In the Purva Mimamsa sutras, they have to do the Karma Veda Abheda Vichara. In ritualistic portions in those karma, several rituals resemble with certain similarities and dissimilarities also. Therefore, Purva Mimamsaka has well developed set of laws to do Karma, Veda, Abheda, Vichara. Once they establish oneness of rituals, karmas, they apply Guna Upasamharaha, transference. So the Guna Upasamhara is applied in Purva Mimamsa Sutram, and we are going to apply the same principle in the case of Upasanas also. I am telling all this because that is going to be the context. And because of these reasons, the whole Pada follows Purva Mimamsa principles. It is Mimamsa Pradhana Pada. It is considered to be tougher Pada also. I will not bore you with too much of Purva Mimamsa but deal with the gist of the sutra relating to our subject. Since we are interested in Jivan Mukti, we need not much bother about the Upasana subject, which is not practiced nowadays anyway, many of these Upasanas. And as I said, this Pada has 36 adhikaranams or 36 topics with 66 sutras. Now let us enter the first adhikaranam of the third Pada. This adhikaranam is called Sarva Vedanta Pratyaya Adhikarana. Sarva Vedanta Pratyaya Adhikaranam. The first sutra in this is Sarva Vedanta Pratyayam Chodanadya Visheshat. Sarva Vedanta Pratyayam Chodanadya Visheshat. This is the first sutra of the third Pada or third chapter, 360th running Brahma Sutra. And this is the first Adhikaranam with four sutras, sutras 1-4. It is an important Adhikaranam based on which the later Adhikaranams are developed. Here we get the general rules to point out that two Upasanas are identical. Two sample Upasanas are taken here for inquiry. And here the difference between the two Upasanas are pointed out and the oneness between them is established. This is the general introduction to this Adhikarana, first Adhikarana. Now we will go to the general analysis of the first sutra. Here Vyasacharya says that two Upasanas can be considered identical if four common factors are available based on the Purva Mimamsa rules. Four common factors. And what are those factors? They are, number one, injunctions. Injunctions means the type of commandment. And the second factor is the result. Result means the phala. And the third factor is rupam. Rupam means the nature. The nature of the deity of meditations. The upasya devata. And the fourth factor is the name of the ritual or the name of the upasana, like the panchagni vidya, prana vidya, and all that. So these are the four factors: injunctions, type of commandment, the result phalam, rupam, the nature of the deity of meditation, the name of the ritual, the fourth one, or the name of the upasana, like panchagni vidya, and all that. So based on these four factors, the identity or difference between upasanas are established. This is the general analysis of the sutra. Now let us go to the word analysis. Sarva Vedanta Pratyayam Chodanadya Visheshat. That is the sutra. Sarva Vedanta Pratyayam Chodanadya Visheshat. Sarva Vedanta Pratyayam means a particular karma or upasana taught in different branches of Veda. And we have to supply is treated as same. That is what we are trying to do. A particular karma or upasana taught in different branches of Veda, different Upanishads. Chodanatya viseshat, on the basis of the sameness of the factors, like the injunctions and all that that we just said. This is running meaning. Now let us see the significance of the words. Here, the word pratyayam refers to karma or upasana. That which is learned from Veda is either karma or upasana. For us, what is relevant is upasana in this particular context. And Sarva Vedanta refers to all the Upanishads or different Upanishads. And Panjagni Vidya occurring in Chandogya Upanishad and Brihadaranyaka Upanishad will be treated as identical here. We have seen this Panjagni Vidya is talked both in Chandogya and Brihadaranyaka, and that is going to be treated here as identical. And Shankaracharya gives the example of the sixth chapter, first section, first mantra of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, the prana upasana here. Namely, yoha vai jeshtancha sreshtancha veda, jeshtascha sreshtascha swanam bhavati, prano vai jeshtascha sreshtascha, jeshtascha sreshtascha swanam bhavati, apicha yesham bubushati ya evam veda. This is the mantra. And the same is given in Chandogya Upanishad also, in the fifth chapter, first section, first mantra. And the upasana is also prana upasana there. Mantra also looks very similar. Yo havai jeshtancha sreshtancha vedam, jeshtascha havai jeshtascha bhavati, prano bhava jeshtascha sreshtascha. That is that mantra. Prana is the eldest one born in the beginning itself. Jeshtaha. Eldest one. So even in the individual, when an individual is born, life manifests first. And when the baby is born, the sense organs and all, they develop. So prana is called jeshta tattvam. Prana is also called shreshta tattvam. And for that, a story is also given. We have seen this story many times. And what is that story, if you remember? All the sense organs decided to quit, but still the jiva survived. Even though it suffers some minor losses of the individual organs. For example, eyesight, that did not work for some time. Hearing did not work, but the person still survived. So the moment prana plans to go, all sense organs, they become very weak. This is the story we have mentioned many times. So this prana upasana mentioned in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad and Chandogya Upanishad are one and the same or not is the question. We say both are the same. And the commandments are same in both the upasanas. The palam is also the same. The palam being what? Prana upasana will become most powerful one among the family members in the society as well. So the upasya devata, upadevatas are also the same for the upasana in both Upanishads. It is called prana vidya in both Upanishads, name also same. So therefore they should be taken as one upasana only. Chodanate avisheshat. The other three factors which we have to borrow from Purva Mimamsa Sutra. Avisheshat means samanyat, which means similarity or sameness. So all the four factors are the same and therefore treat the two upasanas as one and the same. Now let us go to the second sutra. Bhedan neti chetim naikasyamapi. Bhedan neti chet naikasyamapi. This is the second sutra, third pada, third chapter, 361st running Brahma Sutra. An objection to the preceding sutra is raised here and refuted also. And this sutra answers a possible doubt occurring in the above statement. Even if the four factors are same, the four factors that we mentioned in the last sutra, even if they are same, we do see certain differences also. And how can you take them as one and the same upasana is the question. For this, Vyasacharya gives this answer. When the similarities are dominant and a few factors are different, you can ignore the minor differences because major identity overpowers minor differences. Therefore, you can treat such upasanas as identical. So even minor difference, you can remove appropriately by adding here and there. And if there are major differences, you have to introduce a fresh upasana. They are not identical then. This is the essence of the second sutra. Two upasanas are taken here also as exam. First is the example of Panchagni Vidya. And this occurs in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad and Chagandogya Upanishad, as I said, where the travel of Jivatma is talked about. After death, the Jivatma goes through five stages before taking up the new body. And the five stages are what? Heaven, then clouds, then earth, then father and mother. These all we have seen in detail earlier also. So when the Jiva passes through each stage, the Jiva manifests more and more. And when the Jiva comes out of the mother, the manifestation is complete. Since the five stages are important for rebirth, you meditate upon these stages as Agni. And this Panchagni Vidya is a famous upasana. Here, these four factors happen to be identical. Therefore, it looks as though both are one and the same upasana, but there are differences creating some confusion. So what the Chandogya Mantra says, Chandogya Mantra, 5th chapter, 10th section, 10th mantra says, Ataha, yam. Yeta nevam panchagni veda na saha taihi api acharan papmana lipyate shuddha putaha punyaloko bhavati yayevam veda. Yeta nevam panchagni veda. Let a person meditate upon panchagni, the life process. But we find another mantra in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 6th chapter, 2nd section, 14th mantra that says, Atainam agnaye haranti, tasya agnireva agnirbhavati, samit samit dumo dumaha, achir archihim, archir archihi, angara angaraham, vispulinga vispulingaha, tasmin yetasmin agnau devaham, purusham juhvati, tasya ahutyai, Purusho Bhaswara Varnaha Sambhavati. We have discussed all these mantras in detail. You can refer to those lectures for all the word meaning. But I'll give you this gist. In this mantra, the Upanishad says, Jiva has come through five stages. And the Jiva enters the sixth fire. The previous one, only five fires were set. Now it enters into the sixth fire at the time of cremation. Jiva is burnt in that fire. So the sixth Agni is also talked about. In Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, six Agnis are enumerated, and in Chandogya Upanishad, only five Agnis are talked about. For the rebirth of a Jiva after death. So for this answer is given. We give this answer here. Shankaracharya gives three answers to this question, for the difference in the number of fires. The sixth Agni is not part, first answer is from Shankaracharya. The sixth Agni is not part of the Upasana at all. Even though sixth Agni is mentioned in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, this is not considered to be part of the Upasana at all. Why? He gives various reasons. It is because in the previous five Agnis, they were not real Agnis, but they were all imaginary fires. All this heaven, cloud and all that thing. One condition of Upasana is that you should see something else upon something else. That is the upasana, one condition of upasana. you invoke, for example, Lord Shiva on the stone. And the stone is Jadam. And Shiva is Chetana Tattva. Is rope snake an Upasana? Can it be? There you say it is Brahma. It is not Upasana. It is Brahma. If you ask this question, we say for error and Upasana, one thing is common, that of seeing something on something else is common between error and Upasana. Seeing something on something else. In error, something is seen as something else because of what? Because of ignorance. But when Shivalinga is seen as Shiva in the stone, the Upasaka knows the fact. He has taken the stone and deliberately sees it as Shiva. That is the difference between error and Upasana. So in Panchagni Vidya, the various things are seen as Agni deliberately for the purpose of meditation or Upasana. So these five are Upasanas. And the sixth one is real Agni. When a person is cremated, it is not Upasana Agni, it is real Agni. And there is no Upasana, and it is the Agni on which the Jiva is offered after death. This is his first answer. And the second answer of Shankaracharya is that in Chandogya Upanishad also, sixth fire is mentioned, where in the fifth chapter, ninth section, second mantra, Sa jato yavat ayusham jivati, tam pretam dishtam itaha agnaya eva haranti, yataha eva itaha yataha sambhuto bhavati. When that person dies, body is put on fire, which is actual fire. It is not imaginary fire. And Chandogya Upanishad indicates indirectly the sixth fire should not be included, although it is said in Chandogya. Therefore, there is no difference. Only five Agnis are there. This is answer two. Then the third answer Shankaracharya gives is, even if one Agni is missing in one Upasana, it is only a minor difference. When five Agnis are mentioned, there is no need to take seriously the minor disagreement of one Agni not being mentioned in one Upanishad. Therefore, the Upasana should be taken as only same Upasana. And we have to apply this for Prana Upasana also. For Panchagni Vidya Upasana, we said, so for Prana Upasana also, we have to apply this. For that, we take up the sixth chapter, first section, first mantra of Chandogya that we just now read. What is that? Yohavai Jeshtancha Sreshtancha Veda, Jeshtascha Sreshtascha Swanam Bhavati, Pranove Jeshtascha Sreshtascha, Jeshtascha Sreshtascha Swanam Bhavati, Apicha Yesham Bubushati, Yevam Veda. That mantra we just now read. And also in sixth chapter, first section, sixth mantra, Burugadaranyaka also we said, Yohavai Prajatim Vedam, Prajayate Ha Prajayam Pashubihi Retovai Prajatihi. Prajayate hai prajaya pashibir yayevam veda. And the same is given in the Chandogya also, in the fifth chapter, first section, first mantra. And the upasana is prana upasana. Yohavai jeshtancha sreshtancha veda, jeshtascha havai sreshtascha bhavati, prano bhava jeshtascha sreshtascha. And in another place of Chandogya, in fifth chapter, ninth section, second mantra, it says, sa jato yavat ayusham jivati, tam pretam dishtam itaha agneya eva haranti yata evaha ita itaha sambhuto bhavati. Where the prana upasana is mentioned with identical features. In both it is said, prana should be meditated upon as the eldest in creation, jeshtaha. And sreshtaha also, greatest in the creation. Prana is seen to be superior according to time and quality. Time, jeshtaha refers to time, and quality shreshtaha. So prana is active right from conception itself. Whereas buddhi, etc. is active much later. But prana is active right from conception. For life, prana is the beginning. It is qualitatively superior. For that, both Chandogya Upanishad and Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, they tell a story also. The same story is told in both. Each organ, they leave the body for some time. And after some time, each organ comes back. And they find nothing happens to the individual who survives. When the prana is about to go, all the sense organs, they struggle. The sense organs do namaskaras to prana and they give a lot of titles to prana. And each sense organ surrenders its own title to the prana. without which none of them can survive. Therefore, one should meditate upon prana, and Shankaracharya says, even though they are similar in both the sections, this dissimilarity is minor and we can ignore and accept the two as one upasana. In the story, the organs go out, they come back. Organs of eyes, ears, manas, all those, they are mentioned in both the sections. But the minor dissimilarity is where in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, the retaha, the organ of reproduction, also goes out for 1 year. And during that year, this person did not have the creative power. The organ of reproduction goes out. Thereafter, the prajanana indriyam, it came back, and this is not mentioned in Chandogya. This is mentioned only in Brihadaranyaka and not in Chandogya. That does not mean that the upasanas are different. That's what Acharya contends. That does not mean the upasanas are different. Prana's glory is same. Whether the organ is mentioned or not, the tatparyam is prana's glory. Some sample organs are mentioned, and we should not take whether 5 are mentioned or 6 are mentioned as samples in this case. The minor difference in Sreshtatva description, the prana upasana is mentioned in Chandogya and Brihadaranyaka, are one and the same, as we established in case of Panjagni Vidya. Now let us do the word analysis of this sutra. Bedan neti chete naikasyam api. Bedan neti chete naikasyam api. This is the second sutra of the third pada, third chapter, 361, running Brahma Sutra. Bedad na. Bedad nava, na means this is the Purvapaksha part of the sutra. And iti chet na is Vedanta part. So there are 2 nas here, Bedat na, that is Purvapaksha part. And iti chet na is Vedanta part. Na means this principle is not correct. We have to supply the word this principle. Na means is not correct. Bedad means because of the presence of certain differences. Up to this is Purvapaksha. Because of the presence of certain differences, this is not correct. That is what Purvapaksha says. Iti chet. If this is your contention, Siddhanti says, na, it is not so. Why? Ekasyam api. Minor differences are possible that we supply even in the same upasana. Ekasyam api, even in the same upasana, minor differences are possible that we have to supply. This is the running meaning. Now let us see the significance of the words. Na, na is Purvapakshi negation. Purvapakshi negates the principle mentioned in the previous sutra. The principle is not correct. That's what he contends. And the upasana mentioned in different Upanishads should be treated as one is Siddhanti's principle. And Purvapakshi says it is not so. And they quote Brihadaranyaka Upanishad and Chandogya Upanishad, the 2 upasanas which you took as example here is Prana Upasana and Panjagni Vidya. Prana Vidya and Panjagni Vidya. So treating them as one is not correct is their contention. Purva Mimamsaka's contention is that treating them as one and the same is not correct. And for him, what is the logic? Even though there are similarities, there are differences also. Therefore, each one should be treated differently. Iti chet, that is Vedantin's answer. From there is Vedantin's answer. So if you raise such an objection, Vedantin says, no, I cannot accept. The answer is what? I do note the dissimilarities also. It is not that I don't know the dissimilarities. I note the dissimilarities. I do see the dissimilarities as also the dissimilarities, both. My contention is what? My contention is that whether dissimilarities are superficial dissimilarities, are they minor or major dissimilarities? That is my question. And when the basic dissimilarities are there, we should treat them as one. And when the dissimilarities are major, we should treat both of them as 2. So that is the contention. when the dissimilarities, basic similarities are there, we should treat them as one. And when the dissimilarities are major, then we should treat both as two. We should see which is major and which is minor objection. Dissimilarities can be admitted if the same are minor. Similarities can be admitted. In this case, the retas, the reproductive faculty was not mentioned in one Upanishad. But because it is only the glory of prana, we still consider that one and same. This is the significance of the word. Now let us go to the next sutra. Swadhyayasya tathatvena him samachare adhikarascha savavaccha tanniyamaha. It looks like an essay. Swadhyayasya tathatvena him samachare adhikarascha savavaccha tanniyamaha. Third sutra, third pada, third chapter. 362nd running Brahma Sutra. We'll not be able to complete it. I just only try to introduce here. Here an objection based on a statement of the Mundaka Upanishad is explained and refuted in this sutra. So let us see the general analysis. So we will see Brahma Vidya itself occurring in two places, in different places, two different places. Previous one is Saguna Upasana or Saguna Vidya. And here we take Nirguna Brahma Vidya. Nirguna Brahma Vidya is discussed in all the Dasha Upanishads. And this Brahma Vidya occurs in Mundaka Upanishad also. And a possible doubt from a student is whether Brahma Vidya occurring in Mundaka Upanishad is different from Brahma Vidya occurring in other Upanishads. Mundaka Upanishad Brahma Vidya and Anya Brahma Vidya, both are same or different, is the doubt. So in Mundaka Upanishad, Brahma Vidya is called Akshara Vidya, Paravidya. Ata para yaya tadaksharam adigamyate. So Paravidya is Akshara Vidya, and whether Akshara Vidya is identical with other Brahma Vidya or different from other Brahma Vidya is the question. And why should such doubt come? He says, because of the unique qualifications mentioned at the end of the Mundaka Upanishad for the student, which qualification is not mentioned in other Upanishads. In all other Upanishads, we see Viveka highlighted, Vairagya highlighted, Samadhi Shatka Sampatti, values, then Mumukshutvam. These are strewn all over in all other Upanishads. But in Mundaka Upanishad, the last two mantras, they give a special qualification. And what are those two mantras? Mundaka Upanishad, third chapter, second section, 10th mantra, and the 11th mantra, they mention about the qualification for Brahma Vidya students. Kriyavantaha, Shrotriya, Brahmanishtaha, Swayam, Juhvata, Ekarshim, Shraddhayantaha. Tesham, Me Vaitam, Brahma Vidyam, Vadetam, Shiro Vratam Vidivat Yeistu Chirnam. That is the 10th mantra. Shiro Vratam Vidivat Yeistu Chirnam. A special ritual is mentioned here, namely called Shiro Vratam as a qualification for Vedadhyayanam. It's told in the 10th mantra, second section, third chapter. And this is re-emphasized also in the 11th mantra, where it says Tadetat Satyam Rishi Rangiraha Purovacham Naitat Achirna Vratodite. So this is another mantra. Namaha Param Rish Namaha Parama Rishibhyo Namaha Parama Rishibhyo Namaha Tadetat Richabhyuktam. One should not learn Brahma Vidya without going through this ritual called Shiro Vratam in both the mantras, very clearly said. So that person who has not Achirna Vrataha, the one who has not performed this ritual, na chirnam vratam yena purushena saha purushaha, that person who has not performed the ritual is not eligible for Brahma Vidya. And this vratam is called the Shiro Vratam. This is not mentioned in the other Upanishads. So Shiro Vratam makes this Brahma Vidya unique in Mundaka Upanishad. So this Brahma Vidya requires this qualification, that's what it's saying. So now because the qualification difference is there, the subject matter must be different, that is argued We will see the details in the next class. Yo vedado sara prokto vedante cha pratishtitah tasya prakritilinasya parasamaheshwarah purnamada purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate purnasya purnamadaya purnameva avasishyate om shanti shanti shantihi shri gurubhyo namaha harihi om shri krishna arpanam